Our next speaker is going to be Daniel Robertson, and he is going to talk about the unrecognized determinants of stock strength.
All right, thank you for the introduction. Thank you all for being here. Last day of the conference. I know it's getting late. I promise to try to make this interesting for you. One way I'll do that is that I come from a different background than I think most everyone in this room. I'm a mechanical engineer. I just started investigating problems in agriculture a couple years ago. But what I want to do today is kind of give you my perspective on stock strength, an engineer's perspective on stock strength, what that means, and what we can do to improve stock strength and hopefully alleviate this problem of stock lodging that we see in many of our vital crop species. You'll see that I've underlined the word strength. When an engineer talks about strength, he means something very specific. When the rest of us talk about strength, we mean all kinds of things. We say someone has a strong personality, or this is a strong building, strong character. When an engineer says strength, he means structural strength, is the force required to break a structure. And there are six different kinds of strength. So just saying something is strong is very abstract in general. So you can see here in the figure, you have six different modes of loading. This is at the most kind of elementary scale. There's six ways to break a structure. You can break it in tension and compression and bending and torsion and shear, or in some combined loading. The key takeaway is that these six modes of strength, or these six modes of loading, are very distinct and different from one another. For example, some materials are very strong in compression and very weak in tension. For example, concrete. Concrete has great compressional properties and has terrible tensile properties. That's why we put steel in it. We built our buildings with concrete without putting any steel in them. They literally fall apart under their own weight, because concrete, it can't take tensile loads. It can only take compressive loads. And so when we talk about stock strength, we have to be more specific. What exactly are we talking about? What type of strength are we interested in? And what we're interested in, if we're talking about lodging, is the structural bending strength of the stock. The compressional strength and the tensile strength, or the shear strength, the torsional strength, those things, they're all different. When we talk about stock lodging, we're talking about structural bending strength. Now, previously, in the field, we've come up with a lot of ideas and a lot of methods of how can we characterize stock bending strength. In general, none of those methods, some have, but the majority of those methods and the ones that are most commonly used don't actually measure structural bending strength. They measure other types of strength. So they measure compressional strength, or they measure some combined loading techniques, such as rind puncture resistance. When you go back and you look at the fundamental engineering and the fundamental mechanics, you'll see that we wouldn't expect any of these things to actually be correlated with stock lodging. If they were strongly correlated, something would be very wrong with the universe, right? Gravity was about to stop working. Like, if you told a physicist that you're trying to measure structural bending strength with a rind puncture, he'd have like a total conniption, right? That's not what fundamental physics and engineering tells us. So it's a very different thing that we're measuring when we measure rind puncture or crushing strength than when we measure the structural bending strength, which is what governs stock lodging. And so there is some correlation between these tests and stock lodging, but in general they're not very strong and they haven't been very consistent. So what does control structural bending strength? Forgive me kind of for all the engineering jargon, but hold with me for a second and you'll see where I'm going. Structural bending strength is determined by two factors. It's determined by geometry, and it's determined by material properties. If you give an engineer the geometry of any structure and its material properties, he can precisely tell you what the strength of that structure is. Nothing else matters. It's all in geometry and material properties. It's the only two things that determine strength. Many agronomic factors affect material properties or geometry, such as fertilizer treatments, you know, weather, soil conditions, but those are the only two ways to affect strength. For example, if you have a wooden dowel or a stock, for example, there's two ways to make it stronger in structural bending strength. You can make it out of a different material, such as steel, or you can make it bigger. Those are the only two options you have. Change the geometry or change the material properties. So which is better? That's the real question. Which gives you more bang for your buck? Should we be breeding for enhanced material properties, or should we be breeding for enhanced geometry? And that's a really difficult question to answer because all of our experimental studies are extremely confounded by all these weather and environmental factors. We can't control geometry directly. We can't control material properties directly in our plants. But what we can do is we can build in silico models or in silicon models, computational models, in which we can control those things directly. And that's what I want to talk about for the rest of the talk. It's about an engineering computational model that we made to investigate stock lodging, stock strength. And I just want to clarify at this point, most of our agronomic models, for example, a yield model, are characterized by high levels of uncertainty. That's because all the assumptions that we put into that model to make it, they're all assumptions, right? They're things that we're learning about. We don't really know exactly what affects yield. We know it's a lot of factors. They all interact with one another. So our agronomic models, right, have high levels of uncertainty. In engineering, our models are based on governing physical principles and relationships that we've known about for 100 years. We have it a lot easier as engineers than you have it as agronomists. Things are much more constant, right? I can run my experiment here or in Nebraska or in Iowa or on the moon, and I get the same answer, right? That's not true in agronomy. We always get different answers. So to make this model, the first thing we did is we did some CT scans to get, as I said, the first determinant of strength is geometry. First thing we had to do is get the geometry of the corn stalk. So we went through CT scans, we characterized its geometry. We then take that geometry and we split it into hundreds or thousands of tiny cubes. And we apply the governing equations of engineering mechanics to each of those little cubes. We throw all that in a big matrix in the computer and it solves it for us. And the output is that we're now able to look at forces and deformations and stresses and strains throughout that entire three-dimensional structure. We can now understand, and also in this model, we can change geometric features and we can change material properties exactly. I can make the diameter 0.005623 millimeters bigger or smaller, right? And it completely eliminates any confounding factors of weather and environment. So we conducted a sensitivity analysis of our model, which is essentially a statistical approach to figure out which geometric factors and which material factors are most influential in stock strength. What we found was remarkable. We found that geometry dominates the bending response of the stock. Geometry had 18 times more influence on stock strength than did any change in material properties. And we kind of see this if we look back in the literature. There's been a lot of studies on trying to increase lignin content or modify the type of lignin in plants. And it does increase the strength of the plants, but it's only moderate. So what we see is the best bang for our buck is going to come from changing geometry, not from changing material properties. The problem with that, right, the confounding factor with geometry is if we make our stock bigger, typically our yield goes down, right? Because we've now allocated more biomass and bioenergy to the stock. There's one way to get away from that, and I can demonstrate that here. So here in figure A, this is our in silico model of the stock. The different colors represent different stresses or different forces in the stock, with red being the highest and blue being the lowest. So if you look at this model, you can see the red area, the high stresses happen just above the node, which is where the stocks break in the field. So we know our model is giving us good answers. The only difference between model A and model B is that model B has the exact same girth, exact same diameter, exact same rind thickness as model A. The only thing we've done is we've smoothed it. We've made the geometry smoother. We've eliminated some of the sharp changes in geometry that happen near the node. And so very small changes in geometry, not affecting the entire girth of the stock or biomass of the stock, just very small changes, we can actually increase the strength of the stock by 20 to 30%. This is kind of what our engineering intuition understanding is telling us. That's because of something called stress concentrations. This is my last engineering term in the talk, I promise, okay? So stress concentration is a small, generally a very small geometric feature that congregates local forces. And if you go and you look at any product you have in your house that's broken, that's failed, in general it's failed 80% of the cases, right? They fail near a stress concentration. So the stress concentration is just this little geometric feature that can significantly reduce strength. And these little features, they happen on the corn stalk just above the node, right where, near where the stalks are breaking. So here's kind of a couple of pictures. One of the stress concentrations, and we'll talk about this, I think Margaret will talk about this a little in the next talk. One of them is this reduction in diameter we see at the node. If you were to take a hollow steel rod and you were to bend it, it'd be really strong. If you put a small change in diameter in it like that, that has a sharp corner, you can reduce the strength of that rod by 50%. You can halve the strength of a structure by introducing a very small stress concentration. So we think that this is a promising approach to improving stock strength in the future and reducing stock lodging. And with that, I'll go ahead and close my talk, and I'd like to acknowledge the many people that have worked on the project and also our funding source, the National Science Foundation. I'll end with this slide. This is just one of our CT scans, kind of flying through the stock from an axial view. And with that, I'll say that we are currently looking for collaborators, right, to try to investigate the heritability of these stress concentrations. That's one area that we don't have expertise in as engineers, and we're looking for agronomists to help us out. And also say, I think that one of the main takeaways that we've learned from working on this project is not necessarily the advances or the understanding that we've gained in stock lodging, but it's that this collaboration between engineers and plant scientists is looking to be very fruitful and very promising. In a very short amount of time, we've been able to identify a lot of things that have been overlooked, simply because we come in, or engineers come in from a completely different perspective. They see the world completely different than agronomist or biologist or chemist. And by working together with these plant scientists and engineers in the same group, we're really able to develop unique insights and come up with unique solutions to standing problems that have been around for over 100 years. With that, I'll go ahead and thank you for your time and take any questions you may have. Yes.
So I'm thinking in a plant on a small, is there a way that we could increase the flexibility of the plant that are from your study? So you distribute that node so it doesn't break away.
That is a great question, and we talk about it all the time as engineers. it's a really insightful question, actually. And so there's trade-offs. If you increase the flexibility, the plant lays over further into the wind, and so it sees less force because there's less wind hitting the plant. But now the ear has also deflected further from the center of gravity of the plant. So now you've increased the bending moment, so you've made it a little weaker. And so what we found, we've actually, flexural rigidity, which is essentially flexural stiffness, which is what you're talking about, we found that flexural stiffness is very strongly correlated with stock strength, much stronger than rind puncture or any of the previous methods that we've used to estimate lodging resistance. In our studies, it's about 4 times more accurate. That you can simply measure the stiffness of the stock, and that tells you, right, that predicts 88% of the variation that we measure in stock strength. And so we think, right, if you can make the plants flexible enough, possibly, right, they could just lay down in the wind and then pop back up. But what the data is showing us is that's not going to work. The data is telling us that we need to make the plants stiffer, not more flexible, and that the stiffer we make them, the stronger they're going to be. And that, again, that's kind of related to some of the engineering failure modes that we see. Increasing stiffness reduces buckling propensity, which is how the stock fails. But that's a great question, and something we talk about all the time as engineers. Are you saying as the plant grows during its life cycle? So do we see differences in strength throughout the life cycle of the plant? That's something we're beginning to investigate currently. So this flexural rigidity measure I just mentioned, we're really interested in that because now we can measure how the strength of the plant changes throughout its life cycle. Because usually to measure strength, you have to break the plant and then it's dead. But if we can measure flexural rigidity, we can start to see how strength changes throughout its life cycle. We don't have a lot of data on that yet. Most of our data has been on, we've been investigating late season stock lodging. So we've just been investigating plants, just prior to harvest, they've been dried. And we've mostly just been investigating dent corn as well. So that's kind of the next step, is to see, begin investigating the problems of green snap and root lodging as well. Build a fence. That's what we have. I'm sorry, that's kind of an inside joke in our lab. It's something we had one engineer always say, just build a fence, you know? Obviously, there's way too much land that we grow corn on to build a fence that is not a practical solution. As far as we've seen, genetics is by far the most practical solution, right? Breeding for a stronger stock. It's just too expensive to try to cut down wind load or build a fence or do anything of that sort that we've been able to come up with so far. So we really think the best approach is to try to breed for stronger stocks that are still able to maintain yield. And that's kind of the approach that we're taking now. That's what we want to find out. Most of all the things we've looked at so far have been commercial hybrids. We haven't seen a lot of pre-commercial hybrids. We haven't seen a ton of variation in corn stock of just the commercial hybrids that we've looked at, of these stress concentrations. But we look at other crops like sorghum, for example. I was just talking to an individual the other day who works in sorghum, and he said they see substantial variation in the nodal geometries of sorghum. So I imagine, right, that we can find the same thing in corn. It's just we need to go out and find that germplasm so that we can begin breeding for these smoother stocks. Yeah, there's definitely variation in strength. We haven't gotten detailed enough to detect differences in the stress concentrations yet, but in strength we find significant differences. All right, I think that's all the questions. Thank you again for your time.